In the upcoming episode of the Go Mode podcast, the role of Timp, a retired podcast host, will be played by Hawk59. Danty, a dancing lifty boy with a fast car, will be played by Mr. Angry Pants. And Herfy Durfy, the resident giraffe, will be played by Skelly and Niobium Narwhal sitting on his shoulders.
Welcome to Go Mode, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I am Hawk59, and I am joined here today by Mr. Angry Pants.
Hey, what's happening?
Skelly.
Good afternoon, Internet.
And Niobium Narwhal.
Hello.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is we are the mods for your Go Mode podcast server. And after some wrangling from a previous podcast host and an admin, we have decided to get together to give you a new episode and talk about all the cool happenings in Link to the Past Randomizer. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I think all things considered.
Yeah, enjoying my retirement for Rando. Well, okay. My hiatus from Rando. Yeah, let's be realistic.
I've been seeing you play a lot of Rando recently, so.
My retirement that will last probably 2 months.
Niall, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've been still playing a lot of Zelda, just not as much Rando.
Right, right. I am currently dealing with the winter storm of the century, I guess, according to all of the news here in St. Louis. So there's about 6 inches of ice outside my house right now.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I know where you're from, Skelly. Of course you're going to say it's fine.
Meanwhile, staring outside my window in Wisconsin, there is not even an inch of snow on the ground somehow. So who knows?
Yeah, it swept through like a band that just happened to hit, you know, like the middle of Kansas, through the middle of Missouri, through the middle of Illinois.
Yeah, over here in Virginia, I know we've got a bunch of warnings, and everybody's going crazy and buying all the bottled water and stuff. But that's normal for over here.
Yeah, I had to go to the grocery store. We had the classic, run on French toast ingredients. That's what usually happens here. So you got to get your bread, your eggs, and your milk, so that you can bunker down and just make French toast for 3 days.
Don't forget your like 8 ginormous super packs of toilet paper.
Right. Right. Yep.
Because that's what everyone flocks to when something is happening. They need to buy all the toilet paper they possibly can.
Yeah, I feel like that's just a universal thing. Is the weather bad? Well, we need toilet paper, I guess.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to be caught, you know, blizzarded in your house. And then, you know, what are you going to wipe your butt with? I mean, you got to have toilet paper.
Just use the snow, man.
Sorry. The Wisconsin toilet paper.
That's how we do it around here.
All right. It's been fun. I have been also not playing as much Rando, but we're going to move into some upcoming tourney talk, and we can discuss a lot of Rando that's going to be happening soon that might get everybody more excited. Just announced was the League Season 7. So Link to the Past Randomizer League Season 7 just announced. Looks like the registration opens on January 12th at noon or 12 p.m. Eastern, and it will end on January 26th, 12 p.m. Eastern. 3 of the 4 people talking on this podcast right now happen to be a league team. So I know I will say that we are all interested. Skelly, are you going to be participating in league?
This is the first time in 4 years that I am not going to be participating. I got a little bit too much stuff coming up in the next few months, so I decided I would take a break. Also, my team situation was a little bit up in the air. We were missing a third person, so regrettably, I will be dodging, but it seems like it will be a lot of fun for sure.
Right. And that will bring us into the next discussion I wanted to have, which is the discussion on modes, which seems to be a little bit of a, you know, hot button topic. Possibly some people have decided that the modes are, ones that they think are not openly, what do you want to say? You know, not open to enough different types of people. I'm just going to list them off here and then we can dive into it. So week one is going to be co-op, and it's going to be all dungeons, key drop boots. So that is a newer-ish mode that's been around. Week two is the Ganon Hunt that I believe was debuted during the War for Hyrule last year, which is an open 10 out of 12 Triforce piece hunt, but you have to beat Ganon. Zero GT entry crystals, and the Triforce pieces are on each of the bosses, the GT Big Key Chest, and Validation. Week three is another co-op. It's Duality, which is another new mode for the league this year. It is an open 1-5 fast Ganon, key sanity. And the way this one works is each player has to have a different finish win condition. So one player has to beat Ganon and the other player has to pull Ped. In this mode, the finish time is going to be determined by the last in the pair. So that determines your team finish. It's not average time. Week four is inverted flute start key sanity. So inverted influ keys is the title. Week five, probably out of all of these modes, maybe the most basic. It's just cross keys, but it's co-op cross keys this time, replacing, I believe, co-op retrance has been in league usually. Week six, the big conversation point, I think. The first time a door shuffle has been in league. We're using beginner doors, which is a newer mode variant. Assured sword, partitioned, level two door shuffle, key drop, starting pseudo boots, maps, and compasses. I can explain more when we're discussing about that if we need to. And week seven is our co-op logical enemizer boots. So it is enemizer, but it's logical enemizer, meaning that the logic takes into account which enemies are in which room. So if you run into a kill room that has dead rocks, you're going to need quake or powder. So so what do you guys think about the modes this year?
I'm actually really excited about these modes. I think the admin team over there did a good job with mode selection. It's got a good little bit of variety for most people, but also it seems any time a tournament comes out that has multiple modes, it's the biggest debate issue that there is.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of that with main tournament. Pretty much the past few years of main tournament, since that's the other big multi-category event that we have on a regular basis. I agree, though. Like, they all sound pretty fun to me. I said I wasn't going to participate this year, but it has nothing to do with the mode selection. I think these modes actually sound probably overall more fun than they have been in the past few years. I know there's been some discussion about it being a little bit too inaccessible, maybe.
That was the word I could place earlier.
But notably, pilot spoiler is gone. Like, that used to be one of the big complaints that people had about some of the previous years of League. I don't know. I think it's good to have some challenging modes to really, you know, get people to really have to like practice with their team and work together. There's also a lot more co-op than there has been in years past, which, yes, I think is really fun and interesting.
One extra, they went from three co-op to four this year. So
yeah, so I can understand how some people might be worried that it could be a little bit too challenging. I think especially for open league, there might be some teams that aren't really experienced with doors or cross keys, for example. But I think if people give these modes a try, they will have a lot more fun than they might think if they're not used to these more complicated modes.
That said, I'm really glad that they didn't do a separate like modes for open and invitational, because I'm really looking forward to these modes. I think duality is super fun, and learning doors is melting my brain at the moment, but I'll get there.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't want to miss out on that.
Right. It is a learning experience for sure. And yeah, I know that there was some discussion that they might do separate mode selection for the two leagues, you know, trying to keep more complicated modes only for invitational. But I think that kind of, at least personally, I think that hurts the fun of League. And I know everybody views League differently, right? Like some people view League as a very serious, very competitive tournament. And it has been in years past, right? It always is. And then other people view it as, you know, hey, it's just playing rando with friends, which to me, that's like the core of it. That's what League, I feel like everybody talks about League started, you know, Fear started it with the idea of I want to play rando with my friends. And to me, the best way to learn a mode you're not comfortable with is to do it with friends. So I think this is cool that the admins wanted to give these, you know, very new and different modes a chance. Does anybody have any thoughts? What do you think is the hardest week? Or maybe and maybe the least, you know, I don't know, the least interesting. I have personal thoughts on the least interesting, but that's just me.
I would probably say for me the least interesting is co-op cross keys. I think all of the others have I don't know. I it might be because I've been around long enough in the community that cross keys, it is just another mode, even if it's one that I don't particularly enjoy playing. It's become just another mode, and whereas doors is something new, and the others are ones that I'm actually interested in playing. So I think that would be the one for me. As far as hardest, probably doors, but that's just because I've never touched doors before.
Yeah, it's funny that you aren't looking forward to co-op cross keys, because I think that's actually my favorite of these seven. I'm a huge sucker for cross keys in general, though. Co-op, especially with cross keys, can be really difficult because it just adds an entire extra layer of communication that you need to do. Like, you need to be able to tell the other person, like, hey, this connector is at this entrance. And it can get especially confusing, like, if I say, like, Tower of Hera is at Skull Woods, well, which one am I talking about? Am I talking about the dungeon Tower of Hera being at the overworld location of Skull Woods, or the other way around? And it's something that is pretty difficult until you have, like, a lot of practice and rapport with your teammates. So I would be pretty excited about that one. I think the one I would be least excited for is week two, the boss hunt. That's the 10 out of 12 Triforce hunt with the pieces on the different bosses and in GT. We've played that before and it's fine, but to me, it's not really substantially different than open mode. I don't think having the Triforce pieces really changes too much about how the game plays out. So that one, I think, might be a little bit of a miss for me. But yeah, I would agree that the most challenging one, I think, is going to be Beacon or Doors. Like, Doors is something that a lot of people haven't played at all before. I'm pretty new to it myself. I've done some of the Beacon or Doors races on Ladder. And it's a struggle, but it is actually really fun. And I think with these settings, it's a good introduction to playing Doors. It's not like Crisscross, where it's key sanity and, like, anything can be anywhere, and it takes 3 hours. It's a lot more manageable, but it is still hard.
Yeah, and Nio, you said that you've been doing a lot. I've actually watched you doing a lot of those. What are your thoughts on the doors right now?
I mean, a lot. I think I've done like three. It feels like learning cross keys again a little bit. That just the trying to figure out how to manage the information, and getting used to like thinking about the seed differently. Funnily enough, I wonder if it would be easier if I was newer at the game.
Okay.
I was less like, you know, familiar and built into dungeon goes this way. This way works.
Less accustomed to the way the game is, to what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, I'm, you know, I've if anybody is in the league Discord, I have been very adamant about my thoughts on, you know, beginner doors. I'm a pretty big doors proponent, doors honk, and beginner doors especially, like, is one of those where I like what you said, Skelly, about it being a good intro point. I think that they've fine tuned it. The beginner door settings used to be different. They didn't used to have the key drop. They didn't used to have the, I think the first time it came out, it was just like level one door shuffle, which is kind of boring. But one of the things to remember about doors for anybody listening, or at least beginner doors, is it is vanilla lobbies. So you're always going to when you walk into a dungeon, you're always going to know the first room because it's always going to be the same. And that means that anytime there's an entrance into a dungeon, so for dungeons that have multiple entrances, those are going to lead you to the vanilla room. So like, desert west entrance is still going to lead to that room with the Beamos, main desert entrance, whatever. Now they might be connected differently, and it's non-Euclidean, so they might be connected in weird ways. But yeah, you're always going to have that. Like Laser Bridge is always going to be at the same Laser Bridge entrance because it's not cross entrance. So you can kind of know what to expect going into a dungeon. You can also know, because it's partitioned, where what rooms you could see. So partitioned means that you're going to get all of the light world dungeons shuffled amongst each other, the first four dark world dungeons shuffled against each other, and the last four. They usually talk about it as like light world dungeons, non-mits dungeons, and mits dungeons. So you in the light world dungeons, that includes Hyrule Castle and Agate Tower. But you're going to, you might need bow. And you might need bow for the first set, but you're not going to need anything beyond those usually. In the last set, the last four dungeons, you're probably going to need Samaria. So those are things that you can expect. I know Telethar made a post in the League Discord of like things to know about beginner doors that could help. So I do think that if people try it, they'll enjoy it. It just might take some time.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. It's just a matter of like figuring out, how do I want to hold the information? And then, they're running into the gotchas. Because I was talking to you earlier today about the Agate Tower Dark Maze and going into it backwards. And I've never pushed the block to open the door on the bottom before.
Right.
Didn't even know that's what it did. It got flummoxed and confused for a minute. But now's the time to run into them.
Yeah. I'll just chime back in real quick on like what I asked before. I also agree with you, Skelly. I think boss hunt's probably my least interesting mode, I think. I'm not a huge fan of the hunt varieties anyways, and the ones that I've played, I think like XD hunt is probably the best version of it, but that's essentially another cross keys variant. So like having two cross keys in the same league season might be a little much. And duality is super fun. Like I have played like four of those already with Narwhal and some others. My pants and I think are going to give it a try sometime soon. But yeah, that is a very fun mode that I hope people enjoy, because I like the concept of, debating while you're going through the seed. Hey, I've already beaten one pendant. So does that mean that I'm going to be the ped pull player? But who knows, because, stuff might be buried behind a bunch of crystals anyways. So it really makes you have to think on the fly.
Yeah, I would to answer those two. I think duality is what I'm most excited for. And the most kind of plain is probably Ganon Hunt. Hardest feels like a more mixed question to me of, I don't know if I know how hard doors is yet. And it's no secret that I don't like inverted. So.
Yeah.
Whereas I enjoy inverted. So I'm really excited to see inverted back in League.
Yeah. And I'm right in the middle. So it doesn't matter to me. It's not my favorite, but I'll play it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I will say I am happy that the inverted mode that they chose is in flu keys. That is my favorite way to play it. So inverted Key Sandy with starting active flute. The starting active flute actually adds so much to the mode. Like, it is so bottlenecked right away if you don't have that. But having the active flute really opens up a lot more like routing possibilities in the early game. It makes it way more interesting to me.
You don't run into like Fighter Sword Moth as much, right?
Yeah, you have way more things you can do. It does open some potential for like even more messed up shenanigans than you would normally expect. For example,
early TR stuff.
Yeah, like so normally in inverted without the starting active flute, the light world is strictly glove locked. Because you can't, like, even if you did find the flute early on in an inverted seed, you can't activate it till you get to light world. The only ways you can get to light world would be, you know, finding hammer and glove, or you find mitts, or you kill Aga, but Aga is on top of the mountain. And to get on top of the mountain without an active flute, you need a glove. So having a starting active flute means you can actually flute to one and do mountain stuff without a glove. And that can lead to some pretty interesting routing that you might not be expecting.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the best way to do inverted. I think it mitigates a lot of the really low percent gross boss fights, but doesn't eliminate them completely, because that's part of the appeal of inverted. So
yeah, it's subtle, but the Key Sanity aspect of it really helps a lot with mitigating those early boss fights, because if we don't have Key Sanity, then in a regular inverted seed, you just need to find a sword and fire rod, and suddenly Moth is in logic. But with Key Sanity, logically, you need to find all three Skullwood small keys. And it's extremely unlikely that those are all going to be like in Sphere 1 or something. So yeah, the risk of things like that is much lower for sure.
Right, right. Couple more things just real quick. I know that there's been some talk about the fact that there's no co-op AD, just basic co-op AD this year. Somebody who's a little bit more knowledgeable, so probably Skelly, maybe Narwhal and Pants. What is, you know, how much more complicated is the AD key drop variant?
Versus regular AD?
Yeah.
I would say quite a bit more complicated, because one thing you can do in co-op Key Sanity is, like, let's say between the two players, you've both found like two keys. You could have one person spend those keys on certain doors and then have the other person spend them on different doors, you know, and kind of like divide and conquer that way. If you don't have Key Sanity, that's not really something that can happen. It's more just like one person goes to one dungeon, they full clear, and then they tell the other person what they need to do.
Right.
So with Key Sanity, and especially with key drop Key Sanity, which adds way more keys to each dungeon, or at least most of the dungeons, it definitely makes for more opportunities to kind of like split up the work, or like make the most out of having a teammate that you can share info with.
Yeah, that's I'm actually excited about it. Like I find regular just AD kind of boring. AD keys is okay, so I think the key drop will be pretty cool. I will note this: I'm pretty sure every week has some form of starting boot, right? The starting boots or starting pseudo boots.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. Wait, yeah, is it too late for me to sign up?
Just got to find two more people. Sounds like Skell's interested. Reach out, I'm sure. as somebody noted in our outline, there is a change this year in League that they are allowing one async per team. Now, it's interesting how this works. It is going to be, you know, if you need an async for whatever reason during the week, I think it's only during the co-op weeks, and it will be based on which team requests or mentions the async first. So say my team is going up against Skelly's team, and we need to async in the chat thread if we're like, hey, I think we're going to async, and then we end up using the async, then that becomes our team's one async. Now, later in the season, Skelly's team still has one. They can do it as well. Or if later in the season, our team runs into another team and, you know, there might be a need for an async, it has to come from the other team. We don't have it. But that is a new change that I think the admins are trying to allow for more scheduling opportunities. You know, scheduling is the hardest mode in this community. So I think that's kind of what they're going for. Anybody got any thoughts on that?
I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of allowing asyncs, even though my preference is to do live racing. So I think some allowance of asyncs is better than none. And so I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, I agree with that. And especially with more co-op than there was before, it's a lot harder to schedule co-op because you need four people in the same place and time. It's already hard enough with two people sometimes, especially if, you know, we have like someone from NA versus Europe. So that's definitely really nice. What you said about like it only counting against one team is really interesting to me. I'm curious why they decided to do it like that, because that feels like it could potentially get kind of messy, couldn't it?
Oh, I taking off my GMP mod hat and putting on my League mod hat, I do expect it to get messy, but we'll see. I think it was more of, I'm not going to speak for the admins. I don't know what they were thinking. I do think that it was, how do we allow asyncs without just opening the floodgates to like as many asyncs as possible? Because I do think League still wants to, you know, a big part of League is getting the races restreamed on Speed Gaming and League channels. And I think that they want to make sure that the bulk or the vast majority of the races are going to be live, you know, and so allowing it that way. Yeah. I made the point when I was talking about it that there could come a situation where a team like uses their async early, like week one or three co-op, and then come week seven they need another async because of for whatever reason. You know, is there going to be some, I don't know, behind the scenes, you know, hey, messaging the other team, hey guys, we used our async and we really need an async. So I'm wondering where that could come into it.
Yeah, I think that might be part of having one per team too, so that you don't run into a situation of the other team being just like, no, we don't want to use our async right now, which could still happen in the situation you're describing. But yeah, I wonder if that's reducing that a little bit.
Right. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, you know, but I do think that I think they are attempting to engender the kind of concept that, hey, like, let's be good sports here. Let's actually work to try to schedule, you know, like openly and try to actually, you know, compromise on a schedule, you know, not go into the scheduling thread and be like, okay, we can only play on this upcoming Wednesday and it has to be 7 a.m. Eastern. And it's like, you know, that's the only time we're available. And that happens. And I think the allowing the one async is saying, hey, we're really trying here. Let's actually communicate first. And then if we need to, we have an async available. Okay. Well, I think that's good for League. You know, there will be a link to the League Discord in the podcast description. I'm telling Dante right now that that's what's going to happen. So if you're interested, go ahead and check it out. Moving on, there is a new event coming in the world of NMG. Nio, do you want to take this one?
Yeah. So Popsicle Sticks and some others spun up a NMG mentorship program that's going to run. Signups are now, like they started on the 1st, running through the end of the month. And then things kick off on February 2nd. So it's going to kind of be some overlap with League a little bit. But looking to the folks who want to learn more about how to run the No Major Glitches, Any Percent Speedrun, which is the, of the Zelda speedruns, that's the one that most people, if it's the most popular category, I guess. It's the one most people refer to if they're talking about speedrunning, at least in the rando side of things. And there's a few like mentors are already picked out, although I think they might add more depending on it, like if it gets really popular. But right now it's MoogleMod, Bidey, Oase, Concision, Rayo7, Fox, Lisk, PH, and Yerok, who are signed up to be teaching people things. And then it's a focus, like each week covers a different chunk of the speedrun with some, like a race at the end of the week that's not obligatory, but you get to score points for your team if you do well. And so, yeah, a lot of emphasis on, I don't know, learning and building community. And there's no too fast or too slow. It's definitely structured in a way of like wherever you are, just to get some structured and kind of different learning with the speedrun.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I haven't looked at it yet. I'm considering it. Not a huge NMG person, but maybe I'll give it a try. So you said it's just the any percent NMG run. Okay. And all those names you listed are, you know, there's some pretty big heavy hitters with good NMG times in that list. So.
Yep. Definitely some folks who know their stuff.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool. So that is in the Zelda Speedruns Discord. So if you are interested, definitely check that out. I will try to get the link to the event guide in the podcast description too. So the next thing I was going to bring up, I'm going to have Skelly talk about. I don't actually know and what it is, and I don't think there's a ton of information, but we're going to try to squeeze him for some tidbits. Skelly, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so this is something that was kind of softly announced at the conclusion of last year's Glitch tournament, which was the No Logic tournament 2024. There is going to be a glitched co-op league coming sometime in winter. We don't have a lot of details about it yet, other than we know it's going to happen. We know it's going to be teams of three, similar to regular league. Two out of three of the team members should be No Logic capable, which is basically the most complicated glitch mode. The third one doesn't need to know how to play No Logic necessarily, but I imagine they would at least need to know how to play HMG. And yeah, it sounds super exciting. The last time there was a glitch co-op league was back in 2022, I think, which is way before I knew how to play any of these modes. So if you're interested in learning how to play glitched, or you have some friends who like playing glitched and you want to force them to teach you, then this sounds like a super fun opportunity. I am actually going to be playing in this. I'm dodging real league, but I will be playing in this because glitched rando is super fun. So stay tuned for more info on that.
Yeah, I'm very interested in it. I'm hoping that they're not to force anything, obviously, in the GMP world. I'm hoping that there's another set of glitched mentor tournaments coming in the next couple of years, because I missed out on them a couple of years ago. I was still too new with the regular. So like I've dabbled in OWG, had Narwhal show me a couple things, but that's, you know, I've done like half a seed. So but it sounds really cool. I'm glad that the glitched community is, you know, growing. Would you say it's growing, Skelly? I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is growing. It's still pretty small, but everyone in the glitch community is honestly so helpful and so awesome. I think a lot of like non-glitch players are probably thinking that glitch modes are like insanely hard to learn, but that's not really true at all. I mean, especially OWG, you really don't need to learn that much to learn how to complete an OWG seed. So if you haven't tried it before, I would say give it a shot. There are so many helpful resources out there. I'll give a quick shout out to the Muffins map. If you haven't heard of that before, it's a giant interactive map of the entire Light World and Dark World and all the dungeons made by Muffins. And it shows you all the different glitches you can do with links to tutorials and how to do each of them. It is so helpful. And yeah, it's way more fun than non-glitched rando, if I'm being honest.
I'd say even for HMG, like I had a harder time with some of the like glitches that we use in normal rando than I did learning the HMG ones. And definitely than the most of the, if not all of the overworld ones.
Yep, it's not as scary as it seems. Especially going from like OWG to HMG. This saying has been thrown out a lot, but it's literally just four clips. That's the only difference between OWG and HMG.
Yeah, I think it's, I love watching the any kind of glitch races and stuff. I think the ones that get me are, it's not so much the glitches themselves. It's actually like the brain, watching the brain of these runners, like keep the logic in their head still, because you, so you know what you're doing when you're going outside of all the logic.
Yeah, or like in no logic, you know, you can't rely on the green squares anymore because everything is green from the start. You have to think a lot harder about like, what can I do with my current equipment and what makes sense to do now? What should I like try to do later and things like that? It's really interesting. And the depth of knowledge that some people have is crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. One of our own GMP admins, Malmo, will always be helpful to if you want to learn more about glitches. So reach out.
She built the preliminary version of the muffins map, and helped a lot with that too. So yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I think that's, a lot of the, you know, current news. So why don't we move on to the current tourneys that are going on, and we'll do a little bit of a roundup there. Why don't we start off with some of the tournaments that are still ongoing. We have currently going is the Inverted Tourney. Mr. Angry Pants, do you want to discuss that one?
Yeah. The Inverted Tourney started a couple of weeks back, or a number of weeks back. I believe they are in brackets right now. Yep, they're in the second round of brackets. They made it through the groups. Lots of people still left in this one, so not a whole lot to update with that. Looks like they had a whole 64 bracket, it looks like. And we should know probably in the next, by the time January is over, we should have a winner announced with that one, hopefully.
Awesome. Yeah. So keep an eye out for those races. I think I've seen a couple of them get restreamed on Speed Gaming and some other channels. So definitely check those out. Another tournament that's going on right now is the XD Hunt Tourney. That one is also in brackets. They are doing a double elimination best of one. So there is a winners and a losers bracket. As far as I can tell, we are down to five players remaining. Looks like Humbug is the only one still left in the winners bracket. And then the losers brackets, we have Telethar, Trey Spire, Andy, and PRD Wong. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. There's a couple more because Andy's opponent hasn't been done yet and PRD Wong's hasn't either. So also Darity, Baja Blood, Jamo, and Furious Magic. So that's the XD Hunt, which is a cross-key drop hunt tournament. So if you're not sure what that is, I will have the challenge in the podcast description, which will give you the tournament document so you can learn more about XD Hunt. Also, I'm just going to go ahead and mention here, the German tournament is currently ongoing. It's in the preliminary rounds with brackets ready to start the next few weeks. What's different about this German tournament in years past is that they opened it up to non-German speaking players. So I think there are some English speaking players in that tournament currently. It has a really interesting setup for how they are determining the preliminary rounds with some kind of time bank, but definitely check that out. There's a link in the TARC server for that tourney. And then as of, I wish I would have put the time. Maybe somebody knows the time. There is a new ladder. New ladder has started, ladder 2.0. Anybody want to take a stab at talking about that one?
I have literally never played ladder, so I probably should not be talking about it.
I suppose I can talk about it a little bit. So yeah, we have Ladder 2.0. That Ladder previously was a thing that would let you, you would sign up and then it would pair you up blind with other people. So it would be a one-on-one race with someone you didn't know who they were. And then there would be a scoring situation related to that. A new ladder is not 1v1 anymore. It's just a group race. But that also means that there's more room for more types of modes or different, like they've added in like Avian or Mystery because they don't need to be quite so, they don't need to roll, you know, 20 seeds at once or whatever. They only need to roll one. So that makes that easier to shift things up, which is why they were able to add things like doors and stuff too.
Right. And there's a lot more races going on at once, as far as I know, right? Like usually like almost every hour or maybe every couple hours. Yeah. I think it's like every 2 hours, maybe.
There was like one schedule previously, and then this one now allows there to be two scheduled trains.
Yeah. We should have brought Herf, real Herf, back just so he could talk about this. But yeah, if you're interested in ladder, definitely go check it out. They got a lot of modes now. I was not doing as much of the old ladder. I've done more of the new ladder because it's got some pretty cool modes on there. I played a lot of Pots and Bones and a lot of beginner doors. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the AD-RMG League. Now we're moving into tourneys that have actually finished. So, Skelly, you want to tell us about the AD-RMG League?
Yeah, so technically not a rando tournament, but a Link to the Past tournament from the vanilla speedrunning community. If you're familiar with NMG League, this is NMG League, except this season they didn't do NMG anymore. That's why it's called AD League. So if you're not familiar with AD-RMG, it's a different speedrunning category for the game. AD being all dungeons, as you might suspect. RMG stands for Restricted Major Glitches. So you are allowed to do basically like any overworld glitch and a lot of clips between dungeons. And it dramatically changes the route of the game, but it's still pretty long speedrun, still like, you know, hour 10, hour 20 for most players. So the AD League finished a couple months ago. It was separated into three different sort of weight classes. So after qualifiers, you know, the top eight players were put in the top division, then the middle eight, and then everyone else was in the bottom division. And so winning the whole thing, we had Doomtap, who not only did he destroy everybody, he actually set a new world record over the course of the tournament, which was really awesome to see.
Wow, I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, actually his, on the site you can see statistics for each of the runners. His average time was almost 2 minutes faster than the second best players. Second was tied, but yeah, he totally destroyed everybody. There was a lot of new strat development, which was really nice to see. AD has way more routing variety in it than NMG does. Like, different people will main different routes. For example, getting silvers in AD is actually not bad. That's the route I did in all my races. There's something called the pod basement clip, which some people did, some people didn't. So it's a really fun mode to race, and it was super fun to participate in it. So next time it comes around, keep your eyes out. It's a really fun route to learn. I don't really like NMG that much myself, but when I tried this, I got hooked right away. So yeah, stay tuned.
I had fun even just being on the sidelines of that one. And then I think I completed one run and then was like, I'm going to, like, I like this, but I already had a goal I was working on, so I'm not going to lean in further. But I definitely learned some new things and enjoyed hearing, like, the various, like, ways you could route it and stuff was fun.
Yeah, just to give an idea of, like, a general route, usually you do Eastern Palace before you do Escape. Most people do Eastern and then they'll do Pod and then they'll do Escape. So, and usually you'll either collect the hookshot when you're in Tower of Hera or you'll collect it when you're in Misery Mire. So like there's a ton of weird stuff going on and it's super fun. It's a little bit dangerous. Like there's a lot of places where your run can just completely die because you hardlock or something, but it's worth it for sure. It's a super fun category.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds crazy. I love that kind of stuff. All right. Cool. Thank you, Skelly. Another tourney that has recently finished, end of November, was the Pilot Spoiler Tourney. Pants, you want to take that one?
Yeah, so the Pilot Spoiler Tourney went off again, and we had the winners was Suggestions Welcome, which is the team comprised of Ariar and Telethar. And the runners-up were Rat Steering the Apple Under the Midnight Sun, which was a team of Clear Mouse and Gem. Both those teams have well-known people on them, so I think not too surprised to see those runners up there.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, I'm imagining, I don't know how it works, but I'm imagining it was Clear Mouse steering Gem and our piloting Gem and Telethar piloting Airy. But, you know, it could have also been Airy piloting Telethar. So who knows?
Yeah, I am pretty sure during the matches, Clear Mouse was the pilot for Gem. I remember, I mean, it was my memory's failing me, but I seem to remember Airy and Telethar, I believe, did take some turns, but you know, this was a month ago, so I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I think it was mostly Telethar piloting Airy. Yeah, no surprise at all seeing those two teams at the top. I did a lot of pickup races with both of them, and my pilot. Shout out to MM2 NES Cartridge. And I think everybody in the whole tournament knew that those two teams were going to be the top two, as long as they're on opposite sides of the bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's, those are the kind of tournaments where you see their names and you're like, well, how long can I avoid them?
Yeah. And Pilot Spoiler especially is like, it's going to reward the better team more often than like non-spoiler. So yeah, I mean, not really surprising at all that, you know, former NMG world record holder ended up winning off of his execution with one of the best routers in Rando. So no surprises at all.
Nope. But congratulations to Airy and Telethar. That sounds awesome. All right. Moving into the Challenge Cup and main tournament. So this year was the year where the league and main tournament and by extension Challenge Cup switched places again. So that is why we were talking about League Season 7 earlier in January, as opposed to talking about it a few months ago. So those started in the fall. The Challenge Cup has already finished. The winner of the Challenge Cup this year was Iron Gamer, with a runner up for IB Karma. So Iron Gamer and IB Karma, I have raced both of them multiple times. They are really good runners. I mean, they're not in Maine, but they are still very good runners. And so congratulations to both of them, but congratulations to Iron Gamer for winning the 2024 Challenge Cup. And then the main tournament 2024, which everybody was talking about the modes for so long. And we are lucky to give you some breaking news, sort of. I don't know when this podcast will come out, but but breaking news, because it finished right before we started recording the finals of the main tournament. The finals were between Gamachu and Gilgamesh. And it looks like, as of today, Gamma has won that 2-0. So won both the first two races. So the winner of the 2024 Link to the Past Randomizer main tournament is Gamachu. Congratulations, Gamma.
I believe the joint third place went to Zelga Desan and someone by the name of Skell. I think.
Yeah, who's that?
I think it's Skeleton Brother is who got the third place. So yes, congratulations. Third place 2024 for Skelly. Man, that's you know, is that why you're taking a break?
Honestly, I was planning on taking a break like very early on in the bracket. And I was just like, okay, well, as soon as I get knocked out, then I'm stepping away from Rando for a little bit, and then it just like didn't happen. But yeah, I'm definitely super pumped about making it that far. But even better than that, my prediction bracket got first place. So who's the real champion?
Yes. the real number one.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. If you get a chance, I don't know how long it takes Speed Gaming to put up the races, but I mean, if you go back and watch, I would say the races from the semifinals and the finals, they were all really good races. I know I watched the final race between Gamachu and Gilgamesh today, and it was, the numbers won't really show it. Cause I believe Gamma kind of ran away with it at the end, but it was it was a good matchup. I think in all of those, the semifinals and the finals were all really good races. So, so cool. The end of the 2024 main tournament.
And huge shout out to Gilgamesh too. Like, I don't think anyone's surprised that Gamma won, because he wins like pretty much everything.
Oh yeah.
But this was like a huge breakout run for Gil. I've known him for a while and he's been a strong runner for a while. And this is like the first like really, really deep run that he's had that I'm aware of. So huge GGs to him.
Yeah, I think this was, again, like Gamachu has been in the finals before. He hadn't won. So GGs to him. He's been consistently one of the best rando players for a long time, for a while. Right. So much so that, I mean, there is an emote for him that is called the Luxac emote. But yes, he is very good. And yeah, Gilgamesh was one of my mentors in one of the previous mentor tournaments. He is an awesome Link to the Past randomizer runner. So GGs to both of them. So, all right. I think that's all of the tournament talk. So why don't we move into the GMP community updates? Which I'm going to start by saying we don't really have any GMP updates. Not many, anyways, at the moment. Yes, there will be another mentor tournament. Before you all go direct messaging or direct pinging Lumaga, don't, by the way, please don't. There will be another mentor tournament happening this year. Beyond that, there are some notes of things happening of members of the community. I think, Nio, I think you put this, added this to the outline.
Yeah, I suppose it's a shout out, but a rando community. Ninjembro is going to be playing in the Magfest marathon. He's doing an 80 keys run that may or may not have Animizer, depending on, I think it's a donation incentive. And that's Friday, January 24th in the evening, although that could change between now and then. That should be a good run.
Yeah, Ninjembro, another very good runner in the community. So that'll be cool. I don't generally check out Magfest, but I will be tuning in this time for sure. So look at that. Double check their website. Get some donations in so that Ninjembro has to deal with Animizer, because everybody knows that will be much more exciting than just regular AD keys.
Yeah, Ninjembro is one of the first people I got to know in the community as one of my early mentors a number of years ago. Really excited he got this run. Really excited for him that he got this run accepted. So should be a good time. He's pretty good at the game and a good guy too.
Yeah, cool guy. Really nice guy. Let's make him suffer. Make him play Animizer.
Right. Yes. Yes. And it's for a good cause, right? Because it's for charity. So I will make sure that the link to Magfest is in the podcast description, so you can check it out and you can donate and you can make Ninjembro get frustrated at what enemies he has to deal with. We are going to move on to the biweekly seed, which at the moment we already have one. Shout outs to Old Man Haiku, one of the 2024 mentees who has taken on the role of biweekly seed czar, I guess. The current mode is the league mode, the boss hunt, Ganon hunt from this upcoming league season. And I think we will see how that goes. Give that a play, and then maybe after that, maybe we can convince him to do one that the four of us come up with. What do we want? What would we say for the one after this, guys?
Oh, geez. Well, you don't want me to pick, because I'm going to say no logic.
I mean, I think keep it with League and let's do some influ keys, and then I probably won't play in bi-weekly.
Yeah, influ keys sounds good. Let's go with that.
I'm down for influ keys.
Yep. Okay. So we will let Haiku know, and hopefully after the Gin Hunt, we'll get some influ keys. So, all right. I think that's all I got for community updates. Let's wrap it up and maybe do some shout outs. So does anybody have anything that they want to shout out? Anything that they're playing right now? Anything they're interested in or anything that's going on? Anybody want to go first?
Yeah, I can do a shout out. I've also been taking a pretty good break from Rando. So I went back to my extensive Steam library of unplayed games and finally got around to finishing Red Dead Redemption 2. So 5 years late, that's a pretty good game.
Yeah. Nio or Skelly, you guys got a shout out?
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of a game called Solitomb. It's free. It's a little bit potentially inspired by Bellatro. Not sure. You're doing solitaire with your... A demon has charged you to get out of this dungeon, and so you need to complete these rounds of solitaire to get out of the dungeon. And but the demon also, wants you to hurry up, so the more you move things around, the more your health gets drained. And you get various bonuses that you can, pick up to kind of build your build between rounds to fight various monsters that show up. It's fun. I think it's built for the Pico 8, which is a fantasy is kind of the wrong word, but I don't know. It's like a gaming console, but has been built, it runs. It's not like hardware. It's like a program that exists, but you don't have to have a download for it specifically.
I've heard people talk about that. Yeah. They're pretending that it was a video game console from the 80s that doesn't actually exist. Very similar to UFO 50, but different. So yeah, I remember hearing about this thing.
Yeah, so it's the developer is working on building a full version on Steam, but
so how do you play? How do you play this game?
It's just in a web browser.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, you can download it and plug it into a Pico 8 thing, but yeah, you can just play it in a browser. And it's free and it's fun.
Nice. Skelly, you got a shout out?
Yeah, I'd say I've got two obsessions lately. One is Final Fantasy 14. I've been progging the new Ultimate, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, and that's been a lot of fun and a huge time sink. Other thing is I recently got into the board game Twilight Struggle, which has been a blast to learn. It's a two-player board game.
Yeah, I've played it.
Yeah, it's not new by any means, from 2005 or something, but it's super fun. I've been playing it with my fiance. So far, the Soviets have won almost every single time.
Oh boy!
but yeah, that's been pretty fun.
I'll have to tell you sometimes, Skelly, about I used to work for a gaming company called Miniature Market. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, miniaturemarket.com. So I played it and I used to see it every day, it sat on the shelves and I had to box it up so many times.
Yeah, we got it. We played one game where you're okay, this is kind of fun. And then we played another game the next day. Yeah, I can see why people like it. And then the next day we played five games. So we're pretty thoroughly hooked at this point.
Nice. Okay, so my shout out is going to be kind of a little bit, I'll go in a different angle, but this past Christmas, my wife and I were trying to figure out what we were going to get our children. I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to get them as their, big Christmas present, the thing that we actually get both of them that they share. And I came across, I was listening to a different podcast and they recommended this. And so I came across it. It's called the Nex Playground, NEX Playground. The best way to describe it is that it is essentially like a Xbox Kinect inside a tiny little cube. So it's very small. It's, you know, like maybe 4 inches by 4 inches by 4 inches. And it plugs into your TV. It's got a little motion sensor camera on the front, and it comes preloaded with like 5 games that you can play for free. And then they have like a subscription thing that you can get for the year that unlocks up to like 40 games. But yeah, it's like motion sensor. You know, you stand in front of it, you do the games, and boy, has it been a hit in our house. Like, the kids have played it literally every day since we got it, since Christmas. And they play it multiple times. And they have a bunch of different stuff on there, a bunch of different games. It starts with like, you know, games like Fruit Ninja and like a whack-a-mole type game. But then they also have, you know, things that are like fitness apps. They have like a Kung Fu Panda game where you do like sparring. They have like a racing game, tennis, all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just been super fun. It harkens back to like, reminds me of when the Wii first came out and like everybody in the house would play it because, you know, it was so accessible to everybody. So yeah. So, if you're, especially if you have kids, but I mean, honestly, I would say even for like, you know, adult gamers, if you are looking for like cool party, like a cool party thing. And like, you know, I'm actually doing like the fitness stuff because, you know, we're in 2025 and we're in the Save the Whale campaign. So maybe I'll try to lose some weight playing this thing, but it's super fun. Next playground. So, all right. So I think that's it, guy. I think we're done, everybody, right? What do you guys think?
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh yeah, that was great audio, everybody at the same time. yeah. So, why don't we, you know, sign off? Why don't we start with Pants?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was great talking with you all. First time we all kind of got together since our end of mentor tournament, Kiss Priest. So it's a lot of fun talking games.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Let me give one quick plug to any of our recent mentor tournament graduates who might be interested in joining League, please do it. I met some of my best friends just by like sticking my head out there and trying to find some random people to team up with, and we had so much fun together. So if you're on the fence, just sign up for it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Pants, Narwhal, and I got together too. So yes, I also agree. Don't be intimidated by the modes. There are plenty of people who will help you learn.
Plus, you know, what better way to learn new rando modes than with some friends or some new friends?
Right.
Rando with friends is better.
Yes. Rando with friends is always better. All right. So for all of our illustrious host Emeritus's Tim Danty Herfy Durfy, our admins in the GMP server, Lumaga, Vex, and Malmo, I am Hawk59.
I am Mr. Angry Pants.
I am Skelly, bro.
And I am Niobium Narwhal.
And this has been Go Mode, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. And so we are signing off, and we are going to go ahead and mirror out. Okay, cool. I think that's good. I'm gonna stop the recording unless anybody wants to say anything funny for outtakes.
Everything I said was funny.
Oh yeah, yeah. Regular Robin Williams.